This is going to kind of be what I call the Christmas sermon today, since next Sunday is going to be kind of a hybrid type of a Christmas Eve service. And so I want to build off a little bit of some of what was in the song, and we're going to connect that to the Christmas story today. So what I did, I kind of had the benefit of looking over the narrative and the song and kind of reading through that. And when I did, a couple of the phrases stood out to me that I'm going to repeat, and then we're going to kind of jump into our passage. So you think about Simeon. We all know, you may not be familiar with, but the story of Simeon after Jesus' birth. He's presented in the temple. Simeon is an old man, and he's been waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's been waiting for the Messiah. And in that passage that they were alluding to, we heard in the narration that he was wide-eyed. He was watching. Okay, eyes were open because he's been waiting and waiting and waiting for the Messiah. And then a song that Paul sang, again thinking of Simeon, said, I would look upon Messiah's face. I would see him with my eyes. I would touch him with my hands. And at last he says, I see him. One of the first people to actually put eyes on the incarnate God, if you want to think about it that way. So here's what happened. When I read through the lyrics and the narration, and I got to thinking about the idea of Simeon seeing, and of course, you know, touching and holding that little baby, and my mind went to, and this is, I've used the word hybrid once today, but my mind went to what I kind of consider a hybrid Christmas song entitled, Do You See What I See? And so, Do You See What I See is not in your hymnal, because it's not really a Christian carol, Christian hymn per se, but there are some allusions in that song to the biblical story of Christmas. And so, I want to share as we start today the lyrics to Do You Hear What I Hear? Now, unlike Paul, not going to sing through these lyrics, but I want you to listen and I want you to be looking for the ideas of seeing and hearing. Okay, that's what Simeon experienced in the temple. He's seeing and looking for the baby, sounds of Christmas time, and of course that's going to lead us to what you can know. We're going to do it that way with the Christmas story. Here is the lyrics to the song. Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Now, it's already a little bit strange because we've got wind talking to a lamb, but you understand the imagery here and more the poetic nature. So, do you see what I see? Way up there in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? It's a star. It's a star that's dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Well, then in this imaginary poetic song, the lamb then speaks and said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, it's high above the trees. It's got a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea. Well, then the shepherd boy speaks. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace, warm and mighty king, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. And then the king speaks in the song. And said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. Now that song, Do You Hear What I Hear, was written in October of 1962. You say, what was going on in 1962 that may have formed the basis of that song? You may not believe this, but those who wrote this song wrote it as a plea for peace during the Cuban Missile Crisis. That's why that song was written. And what's interesting is in the very first stanza of this song where it talks about the little lamb and do you see what I see, the author was inspired to write those lyrics because one day he noticed a lady pushing a stroller on the sidewalks of New York City and got the idea of a little lamb. Now, it became so popular that in 1962, during the Christmas season, I think I got this right, that song sold more than 250,000 copies in 1962. And it's simply called "Do You Hear What I Hear?" Now, if you are like me, you have heard that song. Different artists have sang that song. I personally like the 95.9 Christmas station during December. I love the traditional types of Christmas songs. And I have heard that song over and over. And then last night I was looking over this again. And there's another online station I listen to for Christmas music. It plays a lot of traditional Christmas music. And twice while I was looking over notes for today, that song was played through those speakers. And so I thought maybe we're on the right trail today. I hope so. So Simeon is seeing. He's going to hear different things. We've got that song reminding us of seeing and hearing. So here's what we're going to do today. For Christmas, I want you to turn to the traditional Christmas story. It's in Luke chapter 2. If you get on to the game show Jeopardy, and the question comes up regarding the Christmas story, do not say Matthew, do not say Mark, do not say John. It is found in Luke. And it's Luke chapter 2, and about the first 20 verses of this gospel text, you find the traditional classic Christmas story. We normally read this story, recite this, and read through this on Christmas Eve if we have an evening service and have the kids up, but next week again is going to be very different, so we won't. And so I thought today we'll read through it together as we get ready for Christmas just about, I don't know, what is Christmas now, about 8 days away, something like that. We're getting close, I know. And so let's look here in chapter 2 and verse 1. And here's what the text says, inspired by the Holy Spirit for Dr. Luke to give to us so we can know more of what happened when Jesus was born. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Parenthetical note in verse 2 kind of places this in history and says that this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And then he picks up with the narrative. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. So Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth. He went into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused or betrothed wife, and she was great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered or should give birth to the baby. And she brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, and they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them at nighttime. It would have been really bright, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, and they were praising God, and they were saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Well, then it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds then looked and said to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And so they went with haste. They came with haste, and they found Mary And Joseph was there, and they looked, and there was a baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it, they wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But there was Mary, and the Bible says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Well, after that, the shepherds returned. They were glorifying and they were praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, just as it was told unto them. That's the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, classic traditional Christmas story. And here's what we're going to do today. We're going to walk through the text. Not going to be quite as organized as usual with outline points and all that. But what I want us to do is look at the Christmas story and consider what we can see there, what we can hear there, and what we can know in that Christmas story. So we're going to build off of Simeon, what he looked at, what he saw, he was longing to look for. The song, do you hear what I hear, see what I see, know what I know. And we're going to apply this to the traditional Christmas stories. Let's do it, starting in verse 1, and then I'll point out some things we can see and hear. Well, we are told in verse 1 that during the days of the first of the Roman emperors, there was a decree that basically wanted to take a census of all the world of that day. We go through a census here in America, I think every 10 years, I believe, is how often that occurs. And in this day and time, they were doing the same thing to get some kind of record of citizenship, maybe what you own for what we would call personal property taxes today. And the purpose of taking the census was to help the government know how much to tax you. I'm sorry, but even at Christmas, it's about taxes, right? And so even at Christmas time, the incarnation of the Messiah, we read that they're going through the process of the census so they can know how to do the taxes. And here's what I want to point out to you from verses 1 and 2. Christ was born into a real world, y'all. People were paying taxes. They were hearing about tragedies in the news. There was anxieties in their day and time. There were some Jewish people faithful waiting for the Messiah. There were different ones out there prophesying and guessing the dates when the Messiah may come. That's kind of sound familiar because we're waiting for the second coming or return of Christ. And people are prognosticating and they're doing all these kinds of things we do today. They didn't have Christmas yet. You realize that? There had been no incarnation yet. There had been no Christmas time. There's no such thing as gathering for a turkey and ham and stuffing and mashed potatoes and all those things like that. And I don't mean to make you hungry 8 days too early, but it just happened. I'm sorry. But they didn't have any of that yet. There's no Christmas yet, right? And it all starts because of a census so the government can tax people. And so in that context, Jesus comes into a very real world. Okay, he knows what it's like to be anxious. He knows what it's like to hear about wars that are going on. This is the world of today. It was the world of that day as well. So in that context, with a king, if we can call it that, and we've got governors and all these political figures in place, it's time for y'all to be taxed. And so there's a guy named Joseph. And Joseph's got to go back to his homeland, his ancestral home, for the census. So we read in verse 3 that everybody's going to go back to their original home. Joseph, in verse 4, leaves where they are living in Nazareth. He's got to travel all the way down to Bethlehem, since that is his home. And in verse 5, we learn that Joseph is in a relationship. Man, this is a happy time in Joseph's life. Do you remember when you met, whether it's a person you ended up marrying or not, but you remember when you met that person and you thought, wow, stars started to form in your eyes. Liz just patted Paul on the back and said, honey, it's still that way. But stars started to form in your eyes and you got kind of that little sweaty kind of a nervous feeling and you start writing out on that, like that wide line notebook paper with your number 2 pencil. I like you. Do you like me? Check yes or no. I don't know how you did it, but the point is, all right, Caitlin did it that way. That's why she laughed, or Ryan. I don't. But the point is, like, we all know those feelings. And listen, y'all, remember, he's born into the same world as today. So Joseph's in love. We don't think about it that way, but the dude is in love. He has found the prettiest girl of his dreams. But here's what happens. And you know the story from Matthew. We're not there now, but we know that angels appear and and tell to Joseph, and Mary is there. So like, guess what? You're going to have a child. And it ain't going to be right. It's not going to be moral. But it's going to be different. And the reason is the Holy Spirit is going to basically cause a conception in Mary's womb. And when that child is born, he shall be called the Son of the Most High. Well, now we're in Luke. And so Mary has experienced conception of the Holy Spirit, a divine, miraculous conception for a sinless offspring, for the Son of God to take on flesh in the incarnation. And now it's time for taxes. It's time for a census. As we read in verse 5 that when he goes to Bethlehem, Mary, to whom he is engaged. Now it's different back then. If you've learned or heard this before, they're technically legally married, but they've not come together yet and consummated their marriage through what we call the sexual act, because it's just the way they did. They haven't gotten to that point yet, but she's still considered a betrothed wife. And so as Joseph is leaving and packing up to go to Bethlehem, Mary goes with him. Now every scholar will tell you at this point, we're not sure why Mary went. Truly. Except the supernatural guidance of a sovereign God who had already prophesied in the book of Micah that the child is going to be born in Bethlehem. And so in the process of Joseph going down to Bethlehem, we read in verse 5, he's going to be attached there and he goes with Mary, his espoused wife. So let's look at the word seen for just a moment. I want you to think about the Christmas story, and at this point, what you may see, because the Bible says that she is great with child. Now again, I'm going to assume that Mary was placed on a donkey of some sort. I don't think Joseph in his right mind of being a loving man toward the woman that he has committed himself to, I don't think he would expect her being great with child. I mean, we're looking at basically close to 9 months pregnancy at this point, according to the story, that she would walk this long distance, because this is going to be a pretty good trip down to Bethlehem. So we're seeing in the Christmas story, we've got a man who loves his wife. He's suffered a lot of ridicule because she's pregnant out of wedlock. It's not the way it's supposed to be. It's immoral. But they know the truth is what God has done in her. And so now as they're moving along down this dusty road, we see a man, probably his betrothed wife, on a donkey, great with child, and they're starting their trip down to Bethlehem. That's part of the scene in the Christmas story. But then we get into the next verse and we're going to get some hearing. And it may not be what you would expect. It's not going to be silver bells. It's not going to be dancing around the Christmas tree. Verse 6 says, it happened while they were there. And this is not what Mary wanted. Can I throw that in there? Because she wants to be home, right? Any woman about to give birth, you want to be home with your home doctors and your home hospital. And what, look, you've got this thing organized. Joseph's got the room painted. Everything is organized. And now we're not even home. And the Bible says, while they are away, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered or should give birth. Now listen, I promise you that there is no Christmas pageant in any church in our nation that's going to give you an example of the sounds of childbirth at Christmas. And yet it was real, right? It's real people. And so we're imagining now she's great with child and she's traveling along. We see her on the donkey more than likely. And we get there to the spot where they're going to end up in the cave more than likely. And she's got to give birth there now. And so now we've got sounds of Christmas that no radio station ever plays. The process of giving birth to a human baby. I don't mean to mess up your images of a perfect Christmas, but y'all, it ain't going to be pretty, right? You know the process with a placenta and how all of this happens. I mean, this is not going to be pretty, and they're not even home. So we've got all kinds of things going on. We see Christmas and hear Christmas. And so we go on, and it says in verse 7 that what happens is while they are in just an unexpected circumstance, weren't desiring this at all, she brings forth her firstborn son. And then the next problem is, and you learn this in the story, that when they went to the front desk for the local hotels, they're all booked. They're all full because everybody's in town for the census. And so by the time they get there, the innkeeper, bless his heart, he's not trying to be mean, but he's like, I'm so sorry, but we do not have another room available. But out back. Okay, out back where, you know, travelers will kind of house their animals for their stay. I mean, I can let you stay there. And so then we get to that point and we learn that they end up in probably some kind of a cave, is what's traditional for the location. And while she's there, she brings forth her firstborn son and she finds enough cloth to wrap him tightly. And they're trying to make sure the limbs grow straight, whether that's correct or not back then. They didn't know and they want to protect the little baby. So they wrap the child in very tight strips of cloth. But here's the real kicker. When Joseph looks around, and we're seeing and hearing, like we're looking around and looking at the Christmas story, and Joseph looks around and he's like, man, the crib that I've been working on back home, we couldn't bring it with us. So he looks around there where the animals were just a few moments ago, and now thinking about the hearing of Christmas, I mean, you're looking at animals making those low rumbling noises, and they're like, you know, they just kind of like, it's kind of like moving a little bit as they're munching on their straw, and you hear the straw. This is the sounds of Christmas. And Joseph looks around and is like, I got to do something for the baby. And he notices there that there's a manger, right? It's just a stone or limestone or stone feeding trough, and the animals and the donkeys and the cows and the sheep, they all eat from that big plate. I mean, it's like going to Golden Corral, the big plate. Okay, for me it's a big plate, I'm sorry. But anyway, and it's usually five plates, but we'll talk about that later. The point is, it's a big plate where they're a big feeding trough, and Joseph looks and realizes we're seeing the Christmas stories, like, you know what? That would make a perfect crib. It's about yay long, about yay wide, about yay deep. So he's got to go in there and clean everything out as best he can, put new straw in there. And it's like, Mary, I know it's not the crib I've been fashioning back home in Nazareth, but right now it's going to have to do. And so we wrap the baby, we put fresh straw in there, and they lay the baby in the crib. Well, the crib, though, is a feeding trough, right? This is for animals. It's not for the Son of God. So we see that happen. Okay, we're hearing the sounds of the animals and kind of scurrying them along. And you know as I do by this point in the story that world leaders, man, when they fly first class. When they drive luxury cars. When they dress, they wear expensive suits. And yet when the King of the universe was born and took on flesh, he ends up in a feeding trough. In a cave out back. Well, we're seeing and we're hearing, so let's do some more in verse 8. There's more seeing in the Christmas story, so we read that while this is happening at the cave or maybe the stable where the baby is, out in the countryside, outside of Bethlehem in the hills, there are some shepherds there. They're in the fields and they're doing what they do every night and they're watching over the flock. Now you know the shepherds are not very trustworthy people, although they may have been, where they weren't considered that, despised people and all that. It's not a real nice profession, honestly, to be considered a shepherd. Nobody trusts you. You can't testify in a court of law. You're ceremonially unclean. It's just not what you want to be. But it's to those shepherds in verse 9, as we're seeing, the Bible says, while they're out there, they saw something none of the rich people saw that night. They saw something none of the privileged people saw that night. Because while they were out there at work in a stinky environment, an angel appeared. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord comes upon them and the glory of God shines. Now listen, y'all. Remember, it's pitch dark outside. There's new LED street lights. There's no high pressure sodium lights out there shining in the fields. It's pitch dark. And in that pitch darkness, the glory of God appears. I'm going to tell you what, if I've been there, it has scared me too. Because we ain't never seen nothing like this if we've been working before. And so there's glory that they see with the Christmas story. They're greatly frightened. But then in the scene, there's also some hearing of Christmas. In verse 10, the angel talks. If I hadn't passed out before, I'm gone now. Right? So now all of a sudden the angel of the Lord, it says here, is going to speak. What does an angel sound like when he speaks? Well, he's going to take the language they would have known, right? So he speaks to them and he brings them a little update on what's going on. And first thing he says is, y'all ain't got to fear. over and over in the Bible, right? You read it a lot. Don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. And yet we're fearful people. It's part of the fall of man. It's something we struggle with all the time. Fear not. And this is the reason I'm bringing you good tidings. I'm bringing you good news. This is the gospel. That's what the word means. I'm bringing you good news of great joy, which is going to be for everybody. If I can paraphrase, right? This is what they hear in the Christmas story. Do you hear what I hear? And then they go on in verse 11. This is the clincher. And this is it, man. This is the heart of Christmas. The angel says, unto you is born this day. Now, do you realize what has happened with the word this day or today? For 400 years, there's been silence from God. Your Old Testament closes with the book of Malachi about the year 400 B.C. For 400 years, God has been silent. And now the angel says, today, the silence is about to be broken. And so today, over there in the city of David, the Messiah you've been waiting for, and the angel calls him here a Savior. He has been born, and he is going to be Christ, and he is going to be Lord. All three titles are bound together here with the Savior of mankind, the Messiah Jews have been waiting for, and the deity of God Himself in Lord. So He's been born this day, today, Savior. And then they say in verse 12, as you're seeing the Christmas story, this is going to be a sign to you regarding this baby and how you'll know which one it is. Now the Magi had a star. The shepherds didn't have a star. Okay, people get that confused too in the Christmas story. The Magi had a star, the shepherds didn't. What the shepherds had was he's going to be in a feeding trough. This is going to be a sign to you. When you run back to Bethlehem there in the city center, you're going to find a baby. This is what you're going to see with Christmas. You're going to find a baby wrapped tightly in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, there may be some babies in Bethlehem that have been recently born that are wrapped up tight, but there ain't going to be no other baby in a feeding trough. So how are you going to know it's the right one? You start looking around out back in the caves. Don't go to the front desk. Don't ask for the room number. You look for the cave. You look for the stable where the animals stay. And when you find a baby in a feeding trough, that's going to be the one. Wow. So this is what you're going to see. So then we read even more of what we see and now what we hear with the Christmas story. And suddenly, they've just made the statement about lying in a manger. And all of a sudden, breaking into the midst of this conversation, he says, there was with the angel now, a multitude of angels. It's almost like these angelic beings, maybe this choir of angels, is waiting for this one to be quiet. Like, if you'll just hurry up and give the news so we can start singing, we'd appreciate it, right? So suddenly there was a multitude of angels, a heavenly host, and they started to say, Bible does not say they sang right here, but they may have, but it says they say, and in verse 14, here's what you hear with the Christmas story. As a multitude begins to say, possibly sing together in a choral fashion, they are exclaiming basically two primary things. It's glory to God in the highest, and on earth there's going to be peace. They kind of divide this hymn into two separate parts here. And number one, there's praise to God. We call that the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, right, in Latin. That's where it's coming from in verse 14. And the second part is there's going to be a peace which the Messiah brings. Now, think about what you're seeing and hearing now. At the manger scene, relatively, it's quiet. Not much going on there. But now out in the hills around Bethlehem, heaven is shouting like crazy. There is resounding praise that is being emitted from angelic beings. And while things are silent at the manger, there's all kinds of heaven breaking out in the hills around Bethlehem. Well, it says in verse 15, as we continue with what we see in the Christmas story, it comes to pass that when the angels were gone away from them, which I can't even imagine this sight, the shepherds then looked at each other and said, you know what we got to do? We got to head into town real quick. Because I don't know what's going on, but we didn't just see something nobody ever seen before. So they say to one another, Let's go. Let's go back now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. Now, if I can do this real quick, because I ain't got time, but I want you to notice the faith of these shepherds here. They do not say in verse 15, let's go see if it's true. They say in verse 15, let's go see it, what's come to pass. So already they must be knowing something in the Christmas story. You see where we're going? There is a scene of the Christmas story. There's hearing, and now they're starting to believe that there's something going on here, and they're starting to know something. And so they say, hey, let's go see exactly what has happened. And I would imagine in verse 15, when they get there, God's made known this to us. Verse 16, they take off. I know I say this every year as a joke, but this indeed is the very first Christmas rush. Right? Man, they get the news, they take off, right? Oh my goodness, I had to go into Route 3 in Central Park the other day for something. Don't do it. I'm just going to tell you, man, it was about 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon. Anyway, it was a Christmas rush, a Christmas mess. Well, they got a Christmas rush going on. So it says in verse 16, they took off, they came with haste, and guess what they found? They found exactly what they were looking for. Now, how many stables did they go through before they got the right one? How many caves whose doors did they knock on before they got the right one? And can you imagine the conversation? So I got a question for you out here in the cave where the animals eat. Any chance of a baby out here? Do you know what you would do if somebody did that? You'd call social services immediately. Or you'd call the sheriff's office, right? As soon as they get there, like, listen, we're looking for a baby. Here? Yeah. And they started inspecting the feeding troughs. And they got to one, and guess what they found in there? There was a baby. Bible says that they're seeing Christmas. They get there and they see Mary. They see Joseph. And they see the baby. They're lying in that feeding trough. Now, if I can borrow this from Chuck Swindoll really, really quick. I think I share this most years at Christmas. But he makes an observation at this point. And he said that when that baby made its first sound or cried out when those shepherds got there, Chuck Swindoll says, for the first time in all of time, God's voice could literally be heard coming from human vocal cords. The angels, the shepherds, are starting to know something. And so we read, verse 17, they see Mary and Joseph, and they exclaimed to them what happened out there on in the hills, and they made known abroad everything that they were told concerning this child, because now they're knowing something about Christmas. And now they're witnesses to the birth of the Messiah. And they become the first evangelists, really, of the Christian era. Well, the Bible says in verse 18, there were they hearing of Christmas. Everybody that heard it, they marveled. They wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. And I've got to imagine. Because it seems to me that Mary is pretty observant in this story. Because we're going to read that she's sitting there and thinking through some things. And I just got to imagine when the shepherds said that we were out there and angels appeared and they were singing and they told us that the Christ was born here in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph had to like look at these shepherds and said, you mean all that happened out there? Ain't no way. We're transitioning from seeing and hearing just now. They're going to know for sure some things. So they get there and they tell everybody what they experience. And here goes Mary in verse 19. I think she sat there quietly. Now, I'll also say this. After you've been through the travails of childbirth, you are worn out. Oh, you're excited, but you're worn out. The Bible says Mary sat there silently. She kept these things, and it says she kind of pondered them in her heart. Now, here's what I think is starting to happen. She has seen some things, obviously. She's heard some things, and now in her heart, she's starting to know some things. She's starting to piece some things together. And so she's pondering these things in her heart. And then we read in verse 20 that the shepherds return. They're glorifying, they're praising God. I ain't sure their feet touch the ground the whole way back out to the fields. I truly am not sure. And they run out, they're praising God for everything they've heard. Now look, they've heard and they've seen, right? Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? And the question is, do you know what I know? And at this point, these shepherds, I believe, have gotten to a place where they are changed men. They've heard the Christmas story. They have seen the Christmas story. And they know for sure the reality and truth of the Christmas story. The song that Paul sang, Simeon said, "At last I see him. I receive him. And I rejoice to hold salvation's light." That means you've gone from seeing and hearing to knowing. So, 8 days from today, I think I've got that correct. It's Christmas. And you know, and we know it's our desire. We don't neglect the truth of the Christmas story. We enjoy all the Christmas stuff and all the baggage that comes with it. I mean, it's fun and everybody enjoys that. But we're keeping the focus on what Christmas is. And here's a good statement that I'm just going to kind of leave you with as we head into kind of this Christmas week here. This is just simple, but it kind of flows from the story. That what we see in the story and what we hear in the story then should lead us to know that this is the Messiah. That this is the Son of God. And the angel said back in verse 11, "He is Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And so if you've been saved, this is a statement true of you. You've seen about it, you've seen it, you've heard about it, and it's something you know Him as your Savior. This is a traditional Christmas story. Seeing, hearing, and knowing. So we're going to close with that today as we get ready to go. And as we bow together for a closing prayer, let's have a little quiet time as we do every Sunday. Just in case maybe something from the text jumped out at you. Maybe something in particular about Christmas that you want to lift up as a prayer of thanksgiving. And maybe it is a prayer of petition. There may be some things coming up around Christmas you're just not looking forward to. Maybe because of some family dynamics, and maybe something with your work schedule, maybe something with finances. And maybe just before we go today, it's an opportunity God is providing to lift up that situation in prayer as you go into Christmas. And then, as is always the case, in case you sit here today or you're listening later online, you are seeing what happened with Christmas. You are hearing what happened with Christmas, but you don't know Christ as your Savior. Yet again, God is providing the opportunity and saying, basically, wouldn't it be a shame to know the story of Christmas, the coming of the Son of God, the Savior who is Christ the Lord, to know the facts of that story and yet not know Him? And so here at Christmas, as we prepare for this great, great holy day, today is another opportunity to express your faith, repent of sin, embrace Christ as your Savior, as Christ, as Lord. And so if you need to do that today, this is your opportunity to lift up a prayer into salvation and trust in Christ. And any other needs you've got on your mind, commune with the Father for a moment, and then I'll close us and we'll be on our way today. So Lord God, as we get ready to go, thank You for hearing our prayers. Some have been prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of praise for the Son of God. And there's also been some prayers of petition, asking for Your intervention for specific issues, maybe even some problems that are faced at Christmas. And so work in each of these as they've been lifted before You in faith, that if You can send the Son of God to take on human flesh, there is no need that has been lifted today that is beyond Your power or Your ability. As we go, we ask Your protection and blessings upon us. We pray for a good, safe week upcoming. And as we look toward this next Sunday and right on the doorstep of Christmas and Christmas Eve, and just pray it'll be an exciting time for us, but also a reflective time to think on what we see at Christmas, what we hear at Christmas, but what we know regarding the Christ child. Bless now as we go. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.